Hello and welcome to our special Valentine's edition of Show Tunes with Kate Botello from Interlochen Public Radio. Coming up, love, musical theater style, from first date to fond memory. At intermission, a few lesser-known takes on Romeo and Juliet that might be new to you. In Act Two, famous Valentines of the theatrical variety. The orchestra is tuning up for tonight's overture. Please silence your cell phones, identify the exit nearest you, refrain from flash photography, and fork over that heart-shaped box of chocolates you're hoarding. Sharing is caring, people. All right, let's kick it off with Andrew Lloyd Webber's 1990 musical, Aspects of Love, which skips the overture and goes straight for a big ballad.
Love changes everything, hands and faces, earth and sky. Love changes everything, how you live and how you die. Love can make the summer fly, or a night seem like a lifetime. Yes, love changes everything. Now I tremble at your name. Nothing in the world will ever be the same. Love changes everything. Days are longer, words mean more. Love changes everything. Pain is deeper than before. Love will turn your world around, and that world will last forever. Yes, love changes everything. Brings you glory, brings you shame. Nothing in the world will ever be the same. Why did I go back to see her?
Alex, it's all in the past.
That's such an interesting way to start a show. I mean, that song seems more like a finale than an opener, doesn't it? From the original London cast of Aspects of Love, that was Michael Ball as Alex with Love Changes Everything. Now, obviously, it takes a while to get as worked up about someone as Alex is there. In his case, he's worked up about several someones, and it took him 17 years. You got to start somewhere, probably with some sort of date. Well, how about a trip to the theater? From 1996 to 2008, one of the most popular trips to the theater was to see I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change. It was an off-Broadway review by Jimmy Roberts and Joe DiPietro with the tagline, "Everything you have ever secretly thought about dating, romance, marriage, lovers, husbands, wives, and in-laws, but were afraid to admit." Here are the prologue and cantata for a first date.
Ooh. And the Lord God said, let there be light. And there was light.
And the Lord God said, let there be man and woman.
And there was man and woman.
And that night, man asked woman if she was busy.
And woman said, thank you, she'd have to check. But she's not interested in anything long term. She'd still want to see other people.
And man said, there are no other people. Ha, 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 ha.
And woman said, okay, how about this? We get married. You vow your eternal love for me. I expel a bunch of miniature humans who are totally dependent on us for 18 years. You get a job. You stay home weekends. And you never see another woman naked for the rest of your life.
And man said, oh.
And then thousands.
And thousands.
And thousands.
And thousands of years passed.
And that's for man and woman.
First date, new romance, clean shirt, pressed pants, aftershave, deodorants, electric razor, velaments.
Mouthwash, toothpaste, bring the condoms just in case. Macho boy, slick the hair, modern man, debonair.
I will splash on must.
I will knot my tie.
And before I go, I will check my fly. It is women who have turned me into this, a coiffed up and dry cleaned guy.
Facial cream from a spa, lingerie, wonder bra, hairspray, hair spritz, wax the legs, shave the pits.
Appetite, coy and pert, don't eat much, no dessert, sweet and low, half and half, smile a lot, fake a laugh.
I have primped and plucked.
I have rubbed on air.
I have spent 2 hours on my face and hair. And I did all this for a guy I barely know, and I bet he won't even care.
I'll behave real well, show her just the good stuff only.
I could weave a spell if I lie about some things.
I hope he's mature, unlike every guy I've dated.
Still I will endure, somewhere someone dreams of me.
But I got back.
Met? Will my fear dispel? Will I captivate or will I repel? Will I show her just how wonderful I am? Or will I be a date from hell?
First date, new romance, different partner, same dance. Ready now, almost time, here we go, doorbell chime.
I'll behave real well.
Show her just the good stuff only.
I could be a spell. If I lie about something,
here I go once more, fishing for another lover. One more waiting door, one more very long, long shot.
Will this be a race,
or will I strike gold?
Will my life be chased?
God, I'm getting old.
Hi.
That was the cast of I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change, with the prologue and cantata for a first date. If you missed your chance to see the show off-Broadway, never fear. It's been translated into 17 languages, and you can see it almost anywhere in the world. Just last year, it opened in Helsinki. So, what are you going to do on that first date? In Anna Leonowen's time, now we're talking mid-1800s here, your first date was probably also the first time you met on a dance floor. From the 2015 revival of Rodgers and Hammerstein's The King and I, here's Anna remembering her first date with her beloved as she teaches the king how to polka.
Oh, it's very exciting when you're young. And you're sitting on a small gilt chair, your eyes lowered, terrified you'll be a wallflower. And then you see two black shoes, a white waistcoat, a face. It speaks. We've just been introduced. I do not know you well. But when the music started, something drew me to your side. So many men and girls are in each other's arms. It made me think we might be similarly occupied. Shall we dance on a bright cloud of music? Shall we fly? Shall we dance? Shall we then say goodnight and mean goodbye? Or perchance, when the last little star has left the sky, shall we still be together with our arms around each other? And shall you be my new romance? On the clear understanding that this kind of thing can happen, shall we dance? Shall we dance? Shall we dance?
Why do you stop? You dance pretty. Go on.
Your Majesty, I didn't realize I was... Well, after all, I'm not a dancing girl. In England, we don't... That is, a girl would not dance while a man was looking at her.
But she will dance with a strange man holding hands, etc., etc., etc.
Yes, not always a strange man. Sometimes a very good friend.
Good. We dance together. You show me. You teach.
Well, it's quite simple, the polka. You count 1, 2, 3, and 1, 2, 3, and 1, 2, 3, and... Shall we dance?
1, 2, 3, and...
On a bright cloud of music, shall we fly?
1, 2, 3, and...
Shall we dance?
1, 2, 3, and...
Shall we then say goodnight and mean goodbye?
1, 2, 3, and... Oh, perchance, when the last little star has left the sky...
Shall we still be together with our arms around each other? And shall you be my new romance? On the clear understanding that this kind of thing can happen, shall we dance? Shall we dance? Shall we dance? 1, 2, 3, and 1, 2, 3, and...
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2... Oh, what's wrong? I know, I forget and.
Oh.
This time I remember...
1, 2, 3, and 1, 2, 3, and 1, 2, 3, and... Splendid, Your Majesty!
Splendid! Ah, you have thrown me off count! No. But this is not right. Not the way I see Europeans dancing tonight.
Yes, it was. It was just like that.
No. Why not holding two hands like this?
No. No, as a matter of fact...
Was like this? No?
Yes.
Come.
By the way, can I just point out that and in the polka for a second? Look, we have a lot of beer and brat fests around here with people doing the polka right, left, and sideways, and it's really fun, but a lot of people forget the and. They just plow 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, right down the middle, so it becomes this kind of insane jogging waltz, which is fine. It's just that if I'm dancing the polka with you, that and is supposed to keep you from stomping on my feet. Or maybe that's what the beer is for. dispelling the pain. Anyway, that was Kelly O'Hara giving an elegant polka lesson to Ken Watanabe in Shall We Dance from The King and I. Up next, one of those couples who you know are into each other. All their friends know, their parents know, their pets know. Everybody knows, except the people involved. Case in point, Lori and Curly in Oklahoma.
Why do they think up stories that link my name with yours?
Why do the neighbors chatter all day behind their doors?
I know a way to prove what they say is quite untrue. Here is the gist, a practical list of don'ts for you.
To blame as much as I. Why do you take the trouble to bake my favorite pie? Granting your wish, I carved our initials on the tree. Just keep a slice of all the advice you give so charm too much. Don't look so vain with me. Don't stand in the rain with me. People will say we're in love. Don't take my arm too much.
Let go.
That was Hugh Jackman as Curly and Josefina Gabrielle as Lori in the 1998 revival of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Oklahoma. And something really cool about that production. Usually, there are two Loris, with a dancer swapping in to do the dream ballet sequence. Now, Josefina Gabrielle, however, was the first ever Lori to handle the whole show by herself. I saw the production when it crossed over to New York, and I can tell you that she nailed it. And director Trevor Nunn came up with a really cool idea to dress her character like a tomboy, which was adorable. Now, Lori may not be in a big hurry to get married, but you know who is? Bianca. As in Bianca, younger sister to that troublesome Kate, who won't get married, and Bianca can't get married till she does. That's the basic gist of Bianca's issues in Cole Porter's Kiss Me, Kate, based on Shakespeare's The Taming of the Shrew. As Bianca says, she will marry anyone. Well, luckily for her, she has three very nice choices.
Signor Baptista!
Gentlemen, importune me no farther, for how firmly I'm resolved, you know, that is not to bestow my youngest daughter before I have a husband for the elder.
Ah, me.
I've made a hole in all the leading rackets, from which we're pouring rich I happen to be. And if thou wouldst attain the upper brackets, marry me, marry me, marry me.
My purse has yet to know a silver lining. Still lifeless is my wifeless family tree. But if for love unending thou art pining, marry me, marry me, marry me.
I come to thee a thoroughbred patrician, still spraying my decaying family tree. To give a social goose to thy position, marry me, marry me, marry me.
Marry me,
marry me,
marry me,
marry me,
marry me, marry me.
I'm a maid who would marry and will take with no qualm any Tom, Dick or Harry, any Harry, Dick or Tom. I'm a maid mad to marry and will take double quick any Tom, Dick or Harry, any Tom, Harry or Dick.
I'm the man thou shouldst marry.
Patty Pop.
Patty Mom.
I'm the man thou shouldst marry.
Art thou Harry, Dick, or Tom?
I'm the man thou shouldst marry.
Patty Pal.
Howdy Chick.
Art thou Tom, Dick, or Harry?
Call me Tom, Harry, or Dick.
I'm a maid who would marry and would no longer tarry. I'm a maid who would marry, may my hopes not miscarry. I'm a maid mad to marry and will take double quick. Any Tom, Dick, or Harry. Any Tom, Harry, or Dick.
Arick-a-dick, 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 arick-a-dick,
arick-a-dick, arick-a-dick, arick-a-dick. I'm a maid who would marry and would no longer tarry.
She's a maid.
I'd marry, may my hopes not miscarry. I'm bad to marry and will take double quick.
Banger's Bianca just wants to get on with it and marry any Tom, Dick, or Harry from the 1999 revival of Cole Porter's Kiss Me, Kate. Up next, we have one heck of a wedding, or series of weddings, from The Drowsy Chaperone. The Drowsy Chaperone is a charming show within a show in which a lonely man cheers himself up by listening to his old record of his favorite 1920s musical, which is called, yep, The Drowsy Chaperone. We'll hear George's triumph, in which he becomes the best man for multiple marriages, and follow up with a high-flying ceremony conducted by a flashy pilot named Trix, which is short for Aviatrix. Get it?
George, I don't know how you managed to pull it off. Four weddings in one day? I guess you're everyone's best man now.
I am?
Hip, hip, hooray! He's George, he's George, the best man, George.
I'm honored to be doing what a best man ought.
He's basking in the glory of a fight well fought. Wedding bells will ring, wedding bells will chime. Wedding bells will celebrate a happy wedding time. Wedding bells will celebrate a happy wedding.
Minister, you may begin. Oh no, I forgot the minister!
I'm Trix, the aviatrix, queen of the sky. To Rio I was wending when my engine needed mending. I'll fix my navigatrix and then I'll fly and let you lover tie the knot. So sorry to crash the party, folks, but we'll have this fixed in two shakes. Then it's off to Rio for carnival.
Wait! The captain of a ship can perform a marriage?
Yes!
And a pilot is comparable to a captain?
Yes!
And airplane is a kind of a chip. A chip of the air. Some call it an air chip.
Oh, ship! Yes!
Wait, I got it! Trix, you can marry them on the plane, and then we'll all have the honeymoon in Rio!
Hurrah!
But what a thrill when lovebirds trill. I do in the sky. When vows are said in
when
a meadow,
are said in a
bees
meadow,
and daffodils sigh. But heartbeats rush when sweethearts gush. I do in the sky.
Do you?
We do.
Do you?
We do.
Restrain that sweet refrain.
I do in the sky. When vows are said in a meadow, the bees and daffodils sigh.
But heartbeats rush when sweethearts gush.
I do
in the sky.
Ooh, I do in the sky.
Look up ahead. Do you see it?
Could it be?
That was Eddie Corbett as the triumphant and forgetful George, and Jennifer Whelan as the dashing Trix in Lisa Lambert and Greg Morrison's 1998 musical, The Drowsy Chaperone. And now Valentine's way, way after the wedding, or maybe the wedding never even happened. Anyway, a long time after the bright fires of new love have dimmed, you may find yourself reminiscing. Do you view your memories through rose-colored glasses, or do you need bifocals?
We met at 9.
We met at 8.
I was on time.
No, you were late.
Ah, yes, I remember it well. We dined with friends.
We dined alone.
A tenor sang.
a baritone.
Ah, yes, I remember it well. That dazzling April moon.
There was none that night, and the month was June.
That's right, that's right.
It warms my heart to know that you remember still the way you do.
Ah, yes, I remember it well. How often I've thought of that Friday,
Monday night,
when we had our last rendezvous. And somehow I've foolishly wondered if you might by some chance be thinking of it too. That carriage ride.
You walked me home.
You lost a glove.
I lost a comb.
Ah, yes, I remember it well. That brilliant sky.
We had some rain.
Those Russian songs.
From sunny Spain.
Ah, yes, I remember it well. You wore a gown of gold.
I was all in blue.
Am I getting old?
Oh, no, not you. How strong you were, how young and gay, a prince of love in every way.
Ah, yes, I remember it well.
Victoria Clark gently set the record straight with Howard McGillin in the 2015 revival of the stage adaptation of Lerner and Lowe's Gigi. Virtual House Lights are coming up, and the ding has done its thing, which means it's time for intermission. Now, for tonight's intermission, I issued myself a challenge. Find musical takes on Romeo and Juliet that are not West Side Story. Now, nothing against West Side Story. I love it dearly, but not tonight.
Tonight, tonight.
Nope. Sorry. Not tonight. Okay, maybe a little. All right, that's enough. What else is there? Well, let's start with the 2001 French musical Roméo et Juliette by Gérard Prescurvich, with lyrics by John Black. Never heard of it? Well, that's probably because the show was a hit in Paris, but when it transferred to Britain, it flopped miserably. Variety called it an anglicized French import of such mind-numbing ineptitude that one only wishes it were that little bit worse so it could qualify as a camp classic. No such luck. The Guardian said it was truly tragic, but not in the way Shakespeare intended. Regardless of the critics, international audiences seem to like it. Romeo et Juliette has been translated into many languages and performed all over the world. And here's something a little weird. The show is different wherever you see it, with different songs, characters, even different deaths for the main characters. For instance, if you see it in Britain, Romeo and Juliet both stab themselves. In Hungary, Romeo straps himself to Juliet's body and hangs himself, and she cuts her wrists. Ew. Like I said, weird. Now, since Romeo and Juliet is set in Verona, Italy, I thought it might be fun to hear something from the Italian translation of the show. Here's a clip from La Felicità dell'Amore, The Joy of Love.
Che prigione mai tu sei? La libertà di io e te.
So that's our first Romeo and Juliet, the musical. And here's a fresh take from the TV series The Fosters. The high school attended by the teenagers in the show has banned Romeo and Juliet because the board believes it glamorizes suicide. Now, Brandon, the kid responsible for putting the show together, insists that the show doesn't do that at all. If it did, he points out, the show would end with they killed themselves and lived happily ever after. But it doesn't. It ends with, for never was a story of more woe than this of Juliet and her Romeo. Here's a clip from the standout hit from what the Fosters call R plus J, Love Will Light the Day.
This love could be great, but they say it would be wrong. I don't care, cause I'd be lost without you. We live because we love. We love cause we belong. Yes, I swear. Oh, you heal the scars and never felt a wound. And we'll never need their rules to guide the way. Love will light the day.
That was Shakespeare for teenagers. How about Shakespeare for kids? Now, this one just cracks me up. It's from a production company called Shakespeare for Kids, and that's with the number 4 and a Z, by the way. Here's a clip from what they call Montagues and Capulets.
Hi there, senor and signori. Welcome to Verona.
Benvenuti.
This beautiful place in Italy. It's where we live so happily. A friendly neighborhood community. But if you need immunity, you gotta be with the right family.
Montague and Capulet, it's a feud they won't forget. Make a move and you'll regret. So don't you bite your thumb at me.
So that's a fun way to do Shakespeare for kids. I directed a sock puppet version of Romeo and Juliet for kids once, and in the end, we had Juliet decide that killing herself over a boy was a terrible idea, and instead their parents just got together and had a mature discussion, and everyone lived happily ever after. Yeah, call me politically correct, but it was really funny, and our Juliet was much relieved. Up next, I had to share a really cute number with you from a seriously weird show. Now, I'm talking about the musical version of the gonzo 1936 movie Reefer Madness, in which a bunch of teenagers get hooked on the marijuana and go absolutely bananas. Here's an infamous clip of a couple of hopheads at the piano.
Do you want me to play something for you?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Play something.
All right. Come on.
Master. Master. Play faster.
So, what does this have to do with Romeo and Juliet, you may ask? Well, in 1998, Kevin Murphy and Dan Studney made a musical version of Reefer Madness, which ran off Broadway in 2001 and was made into a movie featuring its own doomed couple, Jimmy and Mary.
We are just like Romeo and Juliet. We're happy, young, and bubbling with love.
I can't wait to read the ending.
I can't either.
But I'm sure it turns out real swell. I bet Romeo.
Probably the way the play ends.
Rudolph teach the torches how to burn real bright.
Hanging like a jewel upon the cheek of night.
Hark, what light through yonder window breaks here.
Will the future spouses put a plague on both our houses? And we're wrong. Shakespeare!
That was Christian Campbell as Jimmy and Kristen Bell as Mary in the totally nuts 2005 version of Reefer Madness. Now, alas, this Romeo and Juliet are truly doomed. Jimmy becomes an anti-drug crusader after Mary is killed at a chaotic weed-fueled party. Don't do drugs, kids.
'Cause users are losers and losers are users. Ah. So don't use drugs, don't use drugs. Winners don't use and users don't win. So don't use drugs, don't use drugs.
There's the chime and lights are flashing in our virtual lobby, so let's escape all this tragedy and head into the house for Act Two. Since this is a Valentine's episode, let's meet a few of Broadway's most famous couples. Our first couple did not do musicals, but their names are synonymous with onstage lovers. I'm talking about the legendary Lunts of Broadway, so famous they're even referenced by Corky St. Clair in one of the best musical theater movies ever, Waiting for Guffman.
I'm feeling good about where we stand now with our cast. I think that the elements, as Dr. Watson said to Sherlock, are coming together, sir. I'm very excited about Ron and Sheila, the old standbys, the workhorses. I call them the Lunts of Blaine.
Ah, the Lunts. Even Blaine, Missouri has its own Lunts. Alfred Lunt and Lynn Fontanne were huge Broadway stars from the 1920s through the 50s. They did countless shows together. They even met cute. Fontanne was about to make her entrance in a show called Young Man's Fancy. Alfred made his exit, noticed her noticing him, and immediately fell down a flight of stairs at her feet. According to Fontanne, from that point on, they were in love. Now, you might not be that familiar with the Lunts of Broadway. Usually Broadway stars at the time went on to do movies you'd recognize. The Lunts, however, only did one movie, The Guardsman, from 1931, based on one of the couple's big Broadway hits. Now, it's hard to find, but try to find a clip wherever you can. Man, are they delightful. Even in this short clip, you get a sense of how great they are together. And here they are as a dueling stage couple bickering at curtain call.
Smile at them, dear. Smile at the officers.
Idiot.
Don't forget the big ox with the blonde beard. You missed him.
Oh, did I? Where?
You know where. One more peek out of you and I'll drag him from his box by his beard.
Charming, charming. A nice place to start an argument.
I'll start anything I please, anywhere I
not
please.
Not with me, not with me. You're on my dress.
Then why don't
you
get out of the way? Why don't you get out of the way?
Thanks to the adorable Lunts, The Guardsman was a big hit. The studios offered them a mint to make another movie, but they just weren't into it. Apparently, when asked, they said, "We can be bought, but we can't be bored." The fabulous Lunts were married for 55 years. Up next, another stellar couple of the theater, and both definitely musically inclined. I'm talking about actor-slash-singer-slash-dancer Gwen Verdon and her husband Bob Fosse, writer-slash-choreographer-slash-director. They met on the set of Damn Yankees, which turned out well for both of them, personally and professionally. They both won Tonys for Damn Yankees. It's hard to find footage of the two of them performing together, except for one memorable scene in the movie version of the show. And in this scene, Verdon's Lola is dancing in a talent show with a random sailor who happens to be Bob Fosse.
Who's got the pain when they go erp? Who's got the pain when they do the mumbo? I don't know who. Do you? Who needs a pill when they do the mumbo? Who needs a pill when they go erp? Who needs a pill when they do the mumbo? I don't know who. Do you? Someone must be sick with the heat or stepping on everyone's feet. But if everyone's feeling okay, why don't they just say ole when the music carries them away? Erp! Who's got the pain when they do the mumbo? Who's got the pain when they go erp? Who's got the pain when they do the mumbo? I don't know who. Do you?
Thank you.
of doubt as to who's got the pain when they do the mambo, who's got the pain when they go erp, who needs a pill when they do the mambo, who needs a pill when they go erp.
Bob Fosse and Gwen Verdon separated in 1971, but never stopped working together and never divorced. They were married for 27 years. And now another famous couple with a catch. Renowned writers Betty Comden and Adolph Green are referred to as the longest-running creative partnership in theater history. The writing duo worked on countless classics together, including Bells Are Ringing, Wonderful Town, Applause, and the movie touted as the best ever made, Singin' in the Rain. And here's my favorite part, the catch. Comden and Green worked together for 60 years, and they weren't married. They didn't even date. Maybe that's why they got along so well. Anyway, here's a number from a collaboration that won Tonys for everybody involved. It's the 1967 show Hallelujah Baby, winner of 5 Tony Awards, including Best Musical, Best Score, and Best Leading Actress for Leslie Uggams. Here's Uggams as Georgina with My Own Morning.
Morning that really belongs to me. that belongs to me. I'll have the life that belongs to me, to share the dough and the flour and the bed and the chair and my own money. Every hour is golden. No one to whom I'm beholden. A moment that really belongs to me.
From our vinyl vault, that was Leslie Uggams with My Own Morning from Hallelujah Baby by Betty Comden and Adolph Green. And now it's time for the finale of our show. Circling back to Andrew Lloyd Webber's Aspects of Love, here's Anything But Lonely.
I'm not that strong. Anything but lonely. Anything but passing time. I look each day, I'll have to find someone who will.
Is it?
Don't ask me questions. You must promise first.
I can't. I must know what it is.
Don't leave me.
Jenny's a woman, what then? Hand me the wine and the dice.
Love will never, never let you be the same. Love will never, never let you be the same.
That was Anne Crum as Rose with the closing number to Aspects of Love. The curtain falls, the crowd goes wild, the lights come up, and we come to the end of another episode of Show Tunes with Kate Botello. That's me. Find all our episodes online at interlochenpublicradio.org. Dan Wanchura was our producer. This is Interlochen Public Radio. See you in the aisles.